looking at some valleys in the Bible. All right, so here, 1 Kings chapter 20. Let's look here at verse 22, first of all. 1 Kings 20, verse 22. Notice what he says, "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against me. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like an army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so." Look down here at verse 28, and then we'll have a word of prayer here. Verse 28. "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I'm going to give you some things tonight about the God of the valleys. The God of the valleys. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercies tonight. Thank you for the book, Lord. We appreciate it. And we ask you tonight, Lord, that you might bless it. And Lord, you might give us understanding. Lord, we need that, God. And I pray that you just might take your words now and use them and bless them. And we'll thank you and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right, now what you've got going on here in the chapter and in this passage right here, of course, is there's a war between Syria and Israel. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he's coming up against Ahab, king of Israel. And basically, you know, he's saying, if you look at this, the beginning of the chapter there, I'm just going to come in, I'm going to wipe you out. I'm taking everything you've got and I'm not leaving anything. And you get up there and basically you got Ahab. And of course, Ahab was a wicked king. And he ends up getting killed down through here. But at least he stood some ground on this point. If you look there at verse 11, I think that's verse 11. Notice what he says there. "The king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off." So, I mean, basically he's saying there, you know what, king, anybody can talk, but you still got to do it. And I like that thing right there. You know, that kind of gets a man, you're just opening your mouth, okay? You're going to have to come, let's see if you can do it, what you're saying, right? So this war ends, Israel defeats the Syrians. Look down here at verse 21, right? "And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Assyrians with a great slaughter." So they got the victory that day, okay? They got that. And the prophet then, on the next verse, he says, you know what? They're going to come up again. Verse 22, 23. And in verse 23, you know what we see here? We're getting into the war room, right, of the Syrians. We get to see what they're thinking and what they're talking about. They're saying, you know, Israel's gods. Their gods are nothing but the gods of the hills, of the mountains. They don't have gods of the valleys, okay? We get them in the valley, we'll get them in the low places, we're going to whoop up on them, all right? So we're going to plan on coming back and getting them, right? And of course, you know, you can see something real good out of that, folks, and that is, you know what, you better be careful of what you say, right? You better watch your mouth sometimes, okay? Because you know what, God hears it. You might not have a lot of people hearing what you're saying, but God hears those things. And sometimes I know it seems like men get away with an awful lot of stuff they say. And God doesn't necessarily right away bring judgment on them. We're in grace, thank God. I thank the Lord he's merciful today, right? But you know what God does hear? I remember over there, Matthew 12, 36, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And in that Bible, you know what we find many times, he took up sometimes very quickly against what men spoke. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar, he set up the image there, and he got the three Hebrew children right there, and they didn't bow down. And, of course, he said real quick, you know, he said, well, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And the Lord said, I'm he. I'm going to deliver them, right? You remember the Jews in the New Testament as they were ready to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they said? His blood be upon us and our children. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to hold you to that. He heard what they said, and he held them to it. You got David. You know what he said with that fellow there who got caught? You know, Nathan said, you know, there's a fellow who took this little lamb, you know, and it was actually him. He was the guy who did it. And David said, well, you know what? Four sheep for a sheep. That fellow's going to repay. And you know what the Lord said? I'm going to hold you to that, David. And he did. He held him to that thing right there. If you look in history sometimes, you might see, here's some great events, you know, the captain of the Titanic, right? Not even God himself could sink this ship. I heard that. God said, I heard it, right? And boy, he brought some things on that. Now, God heard this thing here in verse 23. All right, what those Syrians were saying, and he took it seriously. Yeah, there in verse 26, he said, man, I am going to do something about this. He said, I'm not going to allow that statement just to pass. I'm going to bust their chops. In other words, you hear somebody say like that, I'm gonna take some action here. And folks, you know what? You better watch what you say. You better watch what you say before that thing, amen? Listen, you know what? As a Christian, so I can bring this kind of thing in here for you and I tonight. If you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it's easy, isn't it? It's easy for us to give credit to the Lord when things are well. Of course, when we got our health and you got money, you got a job, you got those things going on. But when things go south, right? It's when the things go the different direction. It's, you know what? Boy, where did God go? Right? I want that God of the mountains. You know, I don't want this God of the valley. See, that's the kind of thing you can get into as a Christian. You can think that kind of thing. And you know what, folks? God is the God of the valleys, as much as he is the God of the hills and truths. So you be careful on that thing, on the way you think. I know our natural tendency is to, boy, we sure thank God for the good times. And if some things come up that's bad, you know, right away it's the devil. It's the devil in the low times. But God took note, folks, of what the Syrians said here. Israel's problems is their gods are gods of the mountains. He's not the God of the valleys. All right, so God said, well, I'm going to show them. I'm just going to show them exactly what kind of God I am. And he is the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. And that God, I'll tell you here tonight, that God right there, the very God who is in the birthing centers and in the hospitals of all those, you know, ladies that are giving birth, he is the same God, folks, at the morgue and the funeral homes. He is the same God. And that's something I think we need to realize. We got it theologically straight. We know that, right? Theologically. That's God. But we tend to think when things are going bad, it's the devil, it's the devil. And maybe it is, right? The devil's in that kind of stuff on those kind of things. But I want to tell you this. God is God of the valleys, if you're in that thing, just as much as he is in the mountains. There's one preacher one time, he's in a small town, and he had a outspoken atheist in the same town. They had many debates, and many times they would, you know, argue and get back and forth on things like that, you know. And as the years went on, that preacher's son was killed in a car accident. And at the wake, when at the preacher's son's wake there, that atheist came up there and cornered that preacher there, and he said, "Okay, preacher," he says, "where was your God when your son died?" And that preacher just looked him in the eyes and he said, well, he's the same place when his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross and took your sins and my sins. You see, God is still the God of the valleys, folks. He's still God. He's still there. Not just in the mountaintops, all right? And that God right there, that word valley then, okay, that occurs about 168 times in your Bibles. And I'm just going to bring up a few of these things in these valleys and kind of look at this thing and say, you know what, he's going to let you know. He is God in the valley also, all right? He's there, okay? He is not going to let folks just go by and think of him and having a reputation of just being the God of the good times, see? Well, he's the God of the good times and stuff, but you know what? He wants you to know he's the God of the valleys and the God of the low times. So I'll take your Bibles here for number one. Let's look at Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32. And we'll start here at verse 6. Numbers 32, verse 6. All right, notice what he says here. He says, "And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord God had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time." I will stop right there, and I'll just say this is the Valley of Eshcol, the Valley of Eshcol. And, of course, you know, this is folks, when the children of Israel refused to go in the Promised Land. And Moses here, he's reciting some history going down through there. And, you know, he sent 12 spies, right? 10 were good, 2 were bad. Have you ever sung that in Sunday school? You know, the 10 good and 2 bad ones on that thing. And, of course, when they went in there, they saw the fruit of the land, right? They went in there and they brought the grapes, right? It took 2 of them carrying a thing with the grapes on there. It took 2 of them to carry the thing. So it had the fruits, man. I'll tell you what, the fruits of that land was great. And they saw that, but you know what? Unfortunately, their eyes were on the giants, and they were on the fortified cities. When they seen those giants there and the fortified cities, it says they feared to go in. You know what they said? We're like grasshoppers to them. You know, we're nothing in this thing right there. And what they did is they allowed, I'm going to say, this Valley of Eshcol to be a valley of discouragement. He mentions that 2 times. You ever been in the Valley of Discouragement? It's a pretty big valley, isn't it, on that thing right there, right? Now, they should have went in. They should have took the thing and went in there, obeyed God, and been done with the thing. But, you know, many times what they did is what we do, and we just let the bad news kick in, right? And that bad news ruined it for them, right? The 10 were saying, you know, we can't take it. We can't do it. We're not strong enough. They got the giants in there. And then the two, they were saying, we can. I like that message one preacher preached. You know, he said, Joshua was saying, you know what, they're just like biscuits for us. You know, we're going there, we're going to have some biscuits and honey. We're going to go in there and eat them up, you know. Folks, those guys were, they were strong in faith, amen. They believed what God said there. But you know what bad news does? Bad news, it kicks you like a mule. Now, thank God I've never been kicked like a mule before. I've never been kicked by a mule, but I've heard some there and seen some things. It's pretty bad. You know, I don't want to be kicked by no mule. It knocks the wind out of you, right? That's what bad news does. That discouragement right there. I think our enduring enemy till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back is going to be discouragement. That's one of the enemies, right? It's going to get you on that thing. So they got the bad news, all right? They were afraid of the giants. There's giants in there. We can't take it, right? And what they're actually declaring then, getting right back around this thing here, is they're saying, you know what? God is the God of the good times, but you know what? This God we have, he's not the God of the Valley of Eshcol. He's not that God. We can't go in. That's what they were saying on that thing right there. And that tends to come right around to us again in our lives sometimes, don't it? I mean, we give God credit for the good times, but we don't allow him to be the God of the bad. We ain't going to let God be the God of the bad times, right? Blame something else or someone else, or, you know, or on that thing right there. So what happened? They started to murmur and they complained, you know, God hates us. You know, God hates me. Woe is me. You know, he just wants to kill us. He lied to us. We're not getting into the valley. You know, we're not getting into the promised land and all that kind of stuff. They're murmuring, they're complaining. And that Valley of Eshcol became a valley of discouragement. It became, boy, just bad news to them. And God, you know what? They said, God, you know what? This thing here, he's not here. God's not going to be in the valley. So we're not going to go down there and take it. But you know what, folks? God was. God is in the Valley of Eshcol. He's in the valley right there. And what you got to do and I got to do many times is you have to go in that valley anyway, right? You don't choose to go in the valley of discouragement, I'm sure. Some of those things just come upon you. Right in that thing. And so you got some many times you're just going to have to go down there, but you're going to have to remember his promises, whether you feel like it or not. Right? Okay, Lord, I'm going to take you for your word. I'm going to go on down there. And you know what? If you can't fight your way out of discouraging things, then you're not going to get anything done. Because those things come up all the time, Christian, in your life, in my life, saved, not saved, that discouraged, they're going to come up, and you're going to have to learn how to fight and get in there on that thing, okay? And that discouragement, that thing right there, God wants you, know He's the God of that valley right there. Secondly, I want you to look at something else. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34. Let's see another valley. Let's see here. Deuteronomy 34, look here at verse 5. Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. All right, here's Moses, and it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the valley of Moab, in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." Now, this is the valley of death. All right, this is the valley of death. This is where Moses died, and this is where he was buried. So you got a valley of death here, and many times, Christian, I know what we look at things, just from the natural sense there, we look at death. You say, what's that? That's finality. That's final. That's the end. Death is it. You kind of get that view sometimes there on that. And this era of Moses, okay, Moses' life is over now, and Joshua had to take over. He had to step up there. And I'm going to say this, you know what? It is hard. Can I tell you? I know it is hard to see God in that valley right there. Sometimes, is it not? Right? When you're in that valley of death, whether it be, a friend, a loved one, anything like when you have to get in that thing right there, it's hard to see God in that thing. But God is God in that valley too, and I can prove it. So you can prove it? Yeah, look at that verse again. Look there at verse 6 again, right? What's it say? "And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab." Now, okay, let me ask you, who buried him? According to that right there, folks, it is the Lord. The Lord buried him. So what? He's right there. He's in that valley, right? He's right there with the Lord. Folks, God did it. God is right there, folks. And I'll tell you this, God wasn't done with Moses. It wasn't finality for Moses right there at death. You know what I mean on that thing? Jude, take your Bible, look over here at Jude. And you can look at verse 9. I'm just going to quote some things. And then in Jude, verse 9, you find Michael, the archangel. All right, and he's, he is contending with the devil about the body of Moses. Lord sent him down there to get that body, and the devil showed up there. But it says there, "Michael did not bring a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuked thee.'" Now, what about that thing right there? What was all that stuff about right there, man? I mean, he's going to get the body. He's supposed to get the body. And the devil comes there and is going to start, contending with him for that body. He didn't want him to get that body. I wonder why. Well, folks, over there in Revelation chapter 11, you know who the two witnesses are, right? I'm sure you do. Moses and Elijah. And you say, what about that thing right there? Well, I know this. Moses is going to, he's going to come back and show up in the flesh, right? He's coming back. You say, I know he's coming in the flesh because he's going to get decapitated. He's having his head chopped off when he gets there, okay? Those two witnesses, he's one of those two witnesses. He and Elijah is going to return the tribulation. And can I say this thing? God said, I'm nowhere done with you yet, Moses. I'm not done with you yet. But we always think of death. Don't you think of death is just, that is the final bell. That's it, folks, but it's not. I don't believe this. I don't believe the Lord told Moses there, hey, Moses, I'm not done with you yet. But you know what? Your greatest chapter is yet to be written. He told him that thing. I don't know if Moses knew that, but you think, what do you mean? He's coming back and getting his head chopped off? Yeah. But, hey, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to resurrect him. Boy, wouldn't you like to have that something written about you or go through something like that? Your head pop right back on your body and you're going right back up to, into the heaven up there with the Lord. Boy, that's something, right? God wasn't done with Moses yet, folks, even though he died in that thing right there. The point is, I'm trying to say, I'm sorry if I'm being too loud for you, God is the God in the valley of death, all right? Just as well as God is the God of the mountaintop with eternal life, with joy, and what you're going through right now. God is still God right there, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the hour that they took down his body off the cross, and with his side pierced there, no more blood was flowing, right? That heart had stopped pumping and the lungs had stopped breathing there, and they took him down. Of course, they wrapped him up there and they placed him into the tomb 3 days and three nights. And those disciples, you know what I'm sure, folks, they were down on that thing. They probably had the death shroud around their thoughts and what they're thinking. There's their Messiah, and he's crucified, he's dead, and they didn't understand it. All right, they didn't understand that thing. They were still thinking he was coming, he was bringing in the kingdom. They didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. That over there in Luke chapter 9 says they didn't. They didn't perceive it. They didn't get that thing, folks, until he rose from the dead and they seen him and they handled him there, right? And then when that happened right there, you know what they learned? They learned God, the God of the mountains, is the God of the valleys too. He's right there, see? Nobody enjoys, I'm going to say, this valley of death. Nobody enjoys, I don't think, the valleys of sickness or the valleys of bankruptcy or going through those kind of things. That, nevertheless, you know what? God is God in those valleys. And he's just is the same. It's just as much as blessing, folks, the valleys are. And the valleys are just as much a gift from God as the hills and the mountaintops are. And it's hard to, I know it's hard to realize that when you're going through them. You don't want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and notice what he said here about the land in Deuteronomy 8. And he compares those two things together. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, 7. Look, he says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." Right? They say those waters, they spring from the depths of the valleys and they spring from the depths of the hills. I say, the valleys and the hills, folks, they're both right there for our good. And they're both a gift. Both of them are a gift of God, right? On that thing right there. So, folks, you know what? God is still the God of the valley through this valley here. Notice something else. Look at Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. There's another valley, all right? All right, Joshua 7, look at verse 24. You're probably familiar with this one too. Joshua 7, 24, I'm sure. All right, and what's going on here in Joshua 7, 24? Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. All right, so this is where you're familiar, Achan. And he defies God, and he takes the garments, he takes the silver, he takes the gold right there. And of course, he got found out, right? You're not hiding anything from God. And the Lord brought that thing out, and he told them, "Yeah, I took it. It's under the tent there." So they go out there and they get that, and you find out what he says there, verse 25. Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Man, on this thing here, you know what? Achor means trouble. Trouble. You know what? That's the valley of trouble. And you ever been through that valley? You ever had any troubles, right? You sure have. Achan troubled, you know what? He troubled himself. He troubled his family. He troubled the nation of Israel. Judgment fell on him. You see that thing right there? And of course, we don't like that valley either. I don't appreciate that valley too much, right? The trouble you get to all the time seems it comes up. But I understand it. I get that thing. You're born into this life right here as the sparks fly upward, and it's trouble is coming there. But folks, you know what? More and more folks, they miss the point on this kind of thing. Folks today, they don't even understand why God would judge anybody. They're just going way on the whole opposite thing on this thing. But can I tell you, there's something else about judgments of God and the troubles that come in my life and your life. There's another side to it. And look at Hosea chapter 2. Let's look over here at Hosea. And he kind of explains some things on this. Take me a while here. little by little. Hosea chapter 2. And Hosea chapter 2, look at verses 14 and 15. Notice what he says here. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, talking about Israel, and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the days of when she came up out of the land of Egypt. This thing here, that, you know, he's talking about right there, he's talking about the valley of Achor. That valley of Achor was a scar to Israel. They look back on their history and said, yeah, there's where that fella, boy, he messed up and, he got killed, his family got killed, and some of the men of Israel got killed. Folks, that trouble cost them some things on that day. But right here, he's talking about a future time when God's going to bring Israel out into the wilderness there. He's going to restore them right there in the valley of Achor. He's going to call it a door of hope, a door of hope. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes when I mess up, when I sin, and judgment's given, I'm always, is woe is me. You know, that's a little Eeyore over there, you know, woe, woe, woe. But can I tell you something again, Christian? God is not done. God is not done. Even though you may have sinned, maybe though you've done some things there you shouldn't have, guys, at the place where Achan sinned, the place where Achan was judged, God turned that thing around. Yeah. You say what? He's going to make it a door of hope. The very place where that scar was, that trouble right there. And I mean, you know, can I tell you, bad things happen, don't they? Our country has gone south. If you haven't noticed, hopefully you hadn't been, confined in your house, right? Sure, you get out a little bit, right? I know they want to keep you in there and stuff, but I get out, man, I'll tell you. Our country's gone south, folks, I'll tell you. There's things we're doing right now getting worse and worse. I don't like doing those kind of stuff. And does that mean that God is dead? No, God's not dead because of that thing right there. There's no way. God is in the valleys as much as he is in the mountains, folks. For us, I don't think I got a fly attacking me or something, right? That's a valley there. And for us, you know what? Many times for us, the valleys are better for us than the mountaintops, right? Isn't it the truth? I mean, many times God can get something out of you and I and get us closer to him going through the valleys than surely we can get through the mountains. And Isaiah 65 talks about that place is going to be called a place of peace, and the flocks are going to lie in there. Folks, it might be trouble now, right? It might be trouble. You got flies buzzing all around you and all the stuff getting around on you and stuff like that. But there's coming a time it is going to be changed, folks. It's going to be different right there. Look at Joshua chapter 9. Joshua 9, all right? I'm still doing pretty good on my time, right? Not even 7 o'clock yet, okay? Joshua 9, look at verse 18. Whew, amen. Joshua 9, 18. All right, here's something here. And the children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes, right? But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. Now this, look over here in chapter 10, verse 12. And here's the valley. Then Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now, I'm going to say this here. This is the valley of Ajalon. All right, and this valley right here. Now, you see chapter 9, right, when it was reading right there, you know what happened to Joshua? The Gibeonites came, right? And those Gibeonites came. They disguised themselves. They wanted to make Israel think that they were far away, okay? So they did these things there to trick them, right? And you know what you find? You find old Joshua messed up. Yeah, Joshua's just a man, and he messed up in this thing. You say, what do you mean? He didn't pray. He didn't seek God before he made a covenant with these people about, you know, joining there and protecting them and being in the thing with them together. He didn't seek God about that. Either did the princes on this thing right here. And they made that vow. And now when they made that vow, boy, they were in there. They had to protect them right? And they're going to have to fight for them. You come to chapter 10. In chapter 10, you know what you're going to find? Those Gibeonites, the cities around Gibeon there, they knew that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel, so they say, okay, well, we're going to get those Gibeonites. And so all those cities and towns around there got together, and they were going to come there to whoop up on them and kill them, right? And so what the Gibeonites do is they say, they send over their Joshua and say, hey, come help thy servants, you know, we're in trouble, you know, they're going to get us. All right, so Joshua, you know, he gets down there, and folks, he's going to have to fight the enemies that are coming to destroy the Gibeonites. And verses 12 and 13, Joshua prays there, Lord. He said, the Lord there, stand, sun, stand still, moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. And you know what happened there? It did, okay? And there's never been a day like that, okay, or since on that thing. And he called that was the valley of Ajalon. But can I tell you, when you look at that, what happened right there, that was the valley of miracles. Yeah, it's a miracle, right? I mean, you know what? Can I tell you, Joshua messed up bad. He didn't seek God like he should. He didn't pray first and that thing. He got in a big mess on that kind of stuff. And folks, you know what? It was going to take a miracle for them now to go in there and defeat those enemies there and get the victory in that thing right there. Have them delivered there. They had to defend those Gibeonites. And folks, can I tell you? You know what happened? A miracle happened. God stopped the sun. Stop the moon right there, right? And all the time they were fighting in there. That was a miracle. Have you ever thought, you know, sometimes on your mistakes, I say your sins, that you have gone through and stuff that, you know what, this is going to take a miracle to get me out of this. You ever thought that sometimes? Lord, I have gotten myself in so deep. I've done this thing here, man. I've messed up. I didn't seek you. I didn't pray. And it's going to take a miracle. You know, I know that's what happened to Calvary. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, man, died in our place. He took our sins upon him, and we don't have to go to hell just by simply receiving and trust Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? A lot of times this thing happens. I know this in my own life. In practical everyday living, boy, when we mess up, you know what? Can I tell you how many times has God just overruled that for you? And for me, many times God just steps in there and says, I'll get you out. Right? I'm going to get you. And God overruled the mess right there. God, folks, is God in the valleys, and he's God in the low places as he is in the hills. Now, folks, there's many, many scholars and stuff like that don't even believe that happened right there, all right? Yet we're told it did. And the Valley of Ajalon is a valley of miracles. I'm going to say that because it was born out of a mess up. Out of old Joshua and the prince's sins there. Yet God, you know what he did? He brought a miracle out of that thing. Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? I like that God right there, amen. That's our God. That's the God of this Bible. You know he told those Syrians there, you know what, guys? Because you said Israel's God is not the God of the valleys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to fix you up, and I'm going to show you exactly who I am. And you're going to know that I am the Lord. I am their God in the valleys. I am their God in the hills right there. So don't Christian, I say, don't allow yourself. Don't get your in that thoughts right there to say, don't think that God is not in the valleys when you're going through the valleys. Because he is the God in that valley. And there's a specific reason why he's in there when you go through those things. You realize time and time again, if you go through, you know, Judges and you go through the books through there and stuff like that, that God showed himself strong in those valleys for Israel. Many times they're in the valleys there and God brought the deliverance. The point is, again, he is God of the valleys. Maybe you're in the Valley of Ajalon this week, or this month, or today. You say, what? Maybe you messed up somewhere along the line, okay? And you made a big thing messing up. You know what? Can I tell you what? God can deliver you. He's delivered you before, and he can deliver you again. Don't let yourself think that God, your God, is the only, he's only God in the mountains. Because he's God in your valleys, folks, according to the scriptures. Let's look at something else. 2 Samuel chapter 5. All right, 2 Samuel 5. On 2 Samuel 5, look at verse 18. 2 Samuel 5, 18. This is the Philistines, all right, 2 Samuel 5, 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. There's the Valley of Rephaim, right? David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal-perazim and smote them there. And the Lord and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, all right? And let's see here. Go down to verse 22. Notice after they did that, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Now, I didn't know how to study. I didn't check in there and see how many times this thing here is, but here's twice. You know what? You've got the enemies of God, these Philistines, and they're coming up in the very same valley fighting this very same fight again, right? I mean, this battle is being repeated. Have you ever had that in your life? Have you ever had to battle some sins in your life over and over and over again? I'm sure you have. I'm looking at a bunch of humans here tonight. I know, folks, you probably got some things. When you first got saved, you probably had some difficulties or some things in your life that you are still fighting today. You've got to still fight, see? That valley of Rephaim right there, amen, on that thing right there. And in it, you get sometimes, you ever been to the point, I think, and when I'm going through that thing right there, I'm saying, man, you know what? I just might as well quit. I mean, I keep failing, I keep messing up, and then I get up and go on, and then I keep falling to that thing right there. Now, let me tell you something, Christian. God is the God in that valley right there, too. Yeah, he wants you got to get back up, and you got to fight. And fight again. See? Now, thank God you get the victory in some things, right? You get victory in your life over some sins and stuff. But you know what? Many times, sometimes that, you've got to keep your ground. As they say right there, you're going to have to keep what God's given you, and that's going to be a constant fight. See? That victory right there. God wants you to keep fighting. And if you have to go back in the same valley and fight the very same fight and ask God for strength to give you, grace to get through that thing right there, He is still God right there. The next time, and the next time, the next time. Well, then you keep that thing. Keep the ground up. Look at 1 Samuel 17. I'm almost done here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. All right. And I know you all know that one, right? 1 Samuel 17. All right. 1 Samuel 17. Let's look at verse 19. This is the Valley of Elah. The Valley of Elah. This is the last one here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 19. Now, Saul... and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. All right. So here you got Saul. He's with the children of Israel and they're fighting their enemies. Look down here at verse 29. David comes along there. You know, I'm not going to read through all that there. You know, basically the story here. But David comes up there and his big brother gives him a hard time. That's what those big brothers are for, right? They give you guys... the hard time in there, and gets upset there. You know, David's there. You know, he's spying on the battle, and what do you think you're doing, you little pipsqueak, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And David hears what the giant's saying to him. He's getting the picture, and he's looking at Israel, you know, and he's seeing all these men, all these soldiers are afraid. And the king, Saul, he's afraid, man. And then verse 29, David says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause on this thing here?" And so this valley, I don't believe this when you get in this connection with David, I think this valley is the valley of God's high calling for David and some things that David will start to realize, all right? He was already anointed before this, a chapter before he got anointed. I think right here David comes into his own. He was a great shepherd. All right, he was back there in the backfields watching the sheep, taking care of them, and he fought some battles back there. He was a warrior, man. He's taking on a lion and a bear on this kind of stuff right there. But right here, I think he's seen some things. He's going to be king. God's got some things for him. David's in the valley of that Elah right there. He comes into the realization of his calling. There's something he realizes God's got for him on this thing right there. Is there not a cause? Right there on this thing. It's not just killing a Goliath right here, okay? You read down here in verse 24, man, the Israelites, they were all afraid. And they're afraid the whole time. You know what you've got? You've got Goliath out there. And folks, he is defying God. He's cursing and he's swearing and he's defying that God right there. And he's just running his mouth, right? Just running his mouth. And it doesn't seem all Israel's looking at that guy and they're saying, man, there is not a chance. We don't have a chance of winning this thing right there, right? And he's boasting, and it's just like what the world tries to do to you and I, right? And you're young, you're in school, and you're saved. You know what? Sometimes they try to intimidate you. And folks will try to intimidate you. The world will run their mouth and try to, they will downgrade God. They will attack His Word. They'll talk about the Christians and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Sometimes you get to thinking, well, man, we ain't got a chance. But you know what David had? He had his weapons there. Was what? A rock? And he had that sling, a piece of leather. That was all the weapons he had, folks. And can I tell you, you're on good ground when you got the Word of God with you. You got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You're on some good ground facing those enemies, folks. With those little weapons right there, he killed their champ. And I'm going to say, you know, the point is, on this thing right here, is when he's realizing his calling, what God had for him there in the Valley of Elah. Can I tell you something, Christian? You and I are called, as children of God, you are a soldier of Christ, right? You've got a calling. God's got a purpose for you and I being in here. He's got a reason for where you're supposed to be. You've got a calling, you know, and you're supposed to put on your armor every day, and you're going to take up a fight. And you say, well, I ain't nothing. I ain't much. I ain't, well, you know, I can't speak, and I'm backward, and I'm all this kind of stuff. Okay, you may be, but then God's going to show himself strong through that if you'll just lend yourself to him, right? You got to realize that thing. There's a reason for you being here. And for us being here, he's not king yet. David's in that valley right there, but he's fighting. He's getting some things. And I tell you, there is the opportunities for you and I to reign with Christ in the millennium. You're kings and priests. Well, we're not kings yet. I'm not a king yet. Right now, we take up our cross. I'm not sitting on the throne and wearing a crown. But I realize that there's coming a time when that, you know what, that might just come in if I'm faithful. If I'm faithful, that's God's plan. David's going to be king. God is God of the valley just as much as he is, folks, the God of the hills and the mountains right there. And he's going to bring the victory, folks, one day. One day he's going to bring the victory. One day he's going to be king. One day he's going to be ruling on this earth. One day, look, take your Bibles and look at Zechariah chapter 14. It's going to come to pass what he's saying right in here. And even though you and I sometimes, you know, you may have your doubts and you may not think this and that. But folks, Lord, help us to realize it is true. It is coming. Zechariah chapter 14. All right. Zechariah 14, look at verse 4. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming down. He's going to set his feet on this earth right here. And notice what he says here, verse 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And oh, here we go. This is what I've been preaching on or trying to give you this. There shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, half of it toward the south. We're talking about God being the God of the valleys, right? When he comes back, folks, he's going to put his feet on that thing, and it's going to cleave so much there's going to be a big valley. And that valley right there, it's verse 5, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Aziel. Yea, ye shall flee like ye fled before the earthquake. And he goes on down through there. And I want you to know, you get reading some things about that valley, Ezekiel, right there. We know that there's, when the Lord does that thing and he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to set up a throne, right? And he sets up that little throne. There's waters going to be coming out from underneath that throne. And guess where they head from? They head from Jerusalem. They go right down through that valley that he split right here, that valley he made that way. Those waters are going to go down through those places. They're going to heal. The bad waters, the marshes get dried up, the other places, the Dead Sea and stuff. You know what? They get healed. And life comes into that thing because of a valley that he made right through there, okay? So the point is, all right, look at Isaiah chapter 40. And I don't know if I told you that was it, but I got one more. Not a point, but just a verse here I want you to see. This is Isaiah. This is, folks, this is when he comes back here, folks, he's going to, all this stuff we're going through now is going to seem like nothing. Now, why, Lord, didn't I realize when I'm going through that valley, that low place, Lord, that's just something you had for me to get closer to you, or to get stronger, or to bring you glory and honor. Folks, look at Isaiah 40, look at verse 4. Look what he says here. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Folks, all right, so I'm done here. You know what? In the future, it's coming up here. The Lord's going to have that valley. All right? And at that time, he said what? Every valley is going to be exalted, and every mountain is going to be made low. Can I tell you, Christian, there's coming a time when you ain't going to be worrying about if you're in the valley or if you're in the mountain. He's going to even it all out, right? It's all going to be made. You ain't going to worry about going through what you're going through today. So, hey, Lord, help us to realize, all right, what God has in store, folks, and what is coming. And know that, and we get the, maybe we can get the lesson, you know what? That God is not just God in the mountaintops, but he is also God in the valleys. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercies today. Thank you for the blood. I appreciate these folks coming out tonight. And Lord, I pray it was something that may have fed them and give them some help and encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we sure need that, God. We're nothing, Father, and you're everything. And we appreciate what you've done for us in this book and pray that you'd bless now. And we'll thank you and give you the praise and the honor for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, folks. God.